Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I gotta say, I didn't know what to expect as far as turnout, even though it was the spiritual successor to Hempfest.
Right.
It's not exactly the same event. I wouldn't say the bands here have been the same draw as the Hempfest bands were, meaning that, it seemed like the Hempfest bands, at least the nighttime bands, the final headliner acts, if you will, that they attracted a large group of fans, fanatics that came up to the campground for the event, just to see their favorite band or whatever. But there still are, I would say, as many as several hundred people that have come in throughout the weekend here. There's plenty of people camping out in the camp area. But what's most important to me is not necessarily the size of the event. Of course, I'm not the organizer trying to make the costs back of whatever it costs to hire all these bands and rent the campground and the facilities here. But, you know, from our perspective, it's been a blast. I mean, there's been a lot of fun. People have been having a good time here. And it's a really, you know, it's, of course, as you might expect from a cannabis festival, a pretty cool crowd here at Cannabis Freedom Festival. It's heavy libertarian and some liberals, and then a spattering everywhere else. And the same thing's true at a gun show. You're going to get some.
The fact that there were some liberals, or you know, like a good bit of liberals, does not surprise me.
Yeah,
where in the libertarian quadrant people are falling, not surprising.
Pretty much all over the libertarian quadrant.
That they are, but there are a few clusters to where there's, you know, a cluster just above the liberal quadrant.
Yep.
There's another cluster that's kind of to the right of center, but still libertarian. That a little interesting, but the fact that there's that one solid conservative that has taken the quiz at a cannabis festival, you know, like it's not entirely unexpected, but it's just interesting.
Yeah, well, it is interesting, and it's, if you're at a gun show, you're going to find some authoritarians there.
Right, and you're going to find, you know, like one left liberal person.
Pretty rare. It's pretty rare. But yeah,
it's going to be rare.
It's like the reverse of what we're seeing here at this festival. And also, as I had pointed out, you know, if we were doing a Operation Politically Homeless booth in California at a cannabis festival, I guarantee you the results would be hard liberal majority, and then maybe a spattering of libertarians. Although there have been some differences between this Cannabis Freedom Festival and the Hempfest last year. Hempfest seemed to have a higher attendance just generally, but then again, it had 3 years of building behind it. So I would say if you consider this the first year of this event, the New Hampshire Cannabis Freedom Festival, I'd say this is a pretty good success
for
year number one.
You know, every time you mention that this is the first New Hampshire Cannabis Freedom Festival, but, you know, like the spiritual successor of something that had three, I'm reminded of some of like the old British kings, to where it'd be like King John the Fourth of Scotland and John the, you know, like some other number of England, because you know, they just had different numbers of Johns prior. You know, that's just what's rolling through my mind there.
You're thinking about kings?
No, just the Johns. Numbering being different.
Gotcha.
You know, like it's the fourth if you count these other three, but it's the first if you don't.
Yeah. Well, next year we won't have to explain that, right? It'll just be the second year. If they do this again, it'll just be the second year of the Cannabis Freedom Festival. We haven't done a whole lot of news coverage here on Free Talk Live, and apparently Texas has been torn apart, or at least a chunk of Texas has been torn apart by a hurricane in the last 48 hours.
Hurricane Harvey made landfall either late Friday or early Saturday morning. Was, I believe, a Category 4 when it made landfall. Prior to making landfall, the National Hurricane Center thought it was going to be a Category 3 upon landfall, linger over the state for a few days, and dump about 3 feet of rain.
And Category 4, if I recall correctly from having lived in Florida, is not quite the highest category, but it's pretty serious. Like it's number 5, I believe, is the highest.
Yes, 5 is the highest. 4 would be the next highest.
So, yeah, there's some pretty serious devastation in some parts. Apparently Rockport, I believe it was, got torn up pretty bad. few hundred thousand people without power as of late Saturday. So that may have developed further by the time you're hearing this. Obviously, listening to a recorded show from a cannabis festival in New Hampshire is probably not the best way to get the latest information. So if you are still in the middle of heavy rains and high winds, I wish we could tell you more, but we don't have that ability. A mayor of one of these Texas towns has actually requested that people who are not going to evacuate during this recent hurricane hit.
Right. And I believe this request came out at least a day before the hurricane actually made landfall.
Yeah, because they wanted people to evacuate.
Right.
So they were trying to basically, it seems like a scare tactic to me, like, oh, yeah, if you're not going to evacuate, we're going to need you to go ahead and write your social security number down now, y'all.
That way we can identify the bodies.
Yeah, suggesting that you're going to end up dead from drowning or whatever, and then they're going to have to identify you. This story comes from ABC News, where one coastal Texas community, their mayor is advising residents who are not evacuating ahead of Hurricane Harvey to mark their names and social security numbers on their arms. The mayor pro tem of Rockport, Texas, which apparently did get pretty devastated, said that that grim step is necessary to prepare for the worst in case of death among people who remain in the area. Rockport Mayor Patrick Rios said at a news conference, quote, "We're suggesting if people are going to stay here, mark their arm with a Sharpie pen with their name and social security number." He said, "We hate to talk about things like that. It's not something we like to do, but it's the reality. People don't listen."
A lot of times we know that police will say, "I have to ask to search your car." Yes, you have to ask, because if you just do it, it's illegal search. So were they saying, "I have to ask you to let me come in and take a look around"?
Could very well be.
To where it sounds as though they're saying, "I have to come inside"?
In some cases, they were just coming right in. Like if the screen door was there and, you know, there was no regular door behind it closed, they would just open the door and come right in. It was just a crazy situation. So now they're saying, oh, if you're not going to leave, you need to give put your name and your social security number on your arm because, well, you might die. According to the story at ABC News, seven counties and five cities, including Rockport, have issued mandatory evacuations, while several other areas have issued voluntary evacuations. I thought it just said that it was a voluntary evacuation. Maybe we speculated about that.
Right. So, I had asked the question of, was it mandatory or voluntary? And we hadn't gotten that far into.
Yeah, so,
but again, you know, like, how enforced are these mandatory evacuations?
Well, right. So this was a mandatory evacuation, but yet you've got the mayor saying, well, if you're staying, just write your name on your arm so we can identify you. That's not the same as, if we find you, we're going to throw you in the jail.
Right.
The NH Live Network is a collection of venues and bands and events in New Hampshire that all comes together under one website. You know, I felt like New Hampshire lacked a very musical culture, so to bring those bands together is something that I've always kind of wanted to do and put New Hampshire on the map.
And it's New Hampshire, it's nhlivenetwork.com?
Correct, yes.
And so on that site, relatively new effort from you, was that started this year?
Yeah, I started that last month. I bought the domain, figured that was good because I had all the references to do that, and we want to make sure that everyone's able to see, like, actually, like, good shows, you know, like underground music, discover new bands, things like that, you know.
Is that something that you were involved with previously, like promoting bands?
Yeah, I used to work for Rock 101 in Manchester.
Oh, okay, WGIR.
Yes, yeah, because WHU
it was Clear Channel.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. That's correct. And, so I used to do promotions, and I've always wanted to run promotions with music, and that's kind of what I'm doing with the Cannabis Festival here today, is I'm promoting that. Being able to do this is such a joy for someone like me, because this gives me an opportunity to promote a cause that I really enjoy to do. or enjoy like doing.
So. And it's and everybody's
I've been
enjoying.
Here for a few days.
Everybody is enjoying here at the campground. I mean, it's really awesome to walk around and see. Just I saw down there in the bowl earlier $5 dabs. So
yep,
somebody with a sign out. And of course, there's multiple people selling edibles throughout the park. And technically, right now, that's all civil disobedience. Right now, it's illegal to do that in New Hampshire. And so that's what I love to see. I love to see people just acting free.
That's right. It's we're the Granite State, live free or die. So like. You want people to be able to choose their like how they want to live their lives, and if smoking cannabis isn't allowed or permitted, then it's a restriction on your right to do what you want to do with yourself. So.
Yeah, this is basic human rights.
That
I
is
mean,
correct.
You should own yourself, your body. You should do what you want with it. If it's you want to pour alcohol into it, which is a far more damaging and dangerous drug, then you're free to do that. The state will even sell that to you.
Yeah, off the highway.
So that's the crazy. That's how insane all of it is, that the state would sell the most dangerous drug and prohibit the drug that is, by all accounts, a miracle drug.
Right. They need to stay out of cannabis, I think.
Right. And I agree with you. And so we were talking with Glenn Aldridge, who's one of the state reps who's spoken here.
I love Glenn.
Yeah, year after year. And, he's like, we shouldn't have any taxes, but they're probably going to make us have some taxes. So they're going to try to simplify it.
Put
and,
their
like,
hand in there somewhere.
Rick was saying that, the only tax should be the lowest tax of all of the states. So New Hampshire should have the lowest. If we're going to have a tax, it should be the lowest one to attract more industry.
Beat out our competitive states.
Exactly. Yep. Attract more people, attract more industry, make New Hampshire like the cannabis king. Attendance down from what HempFest was. But apparently what I heard last night was the organizer of HempFest had originally planned to do one this year.
Yes.
And it was planned for like next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when he canceled those plans.
He canceled it about a week ago.
Was it that recent? Okay,
it was very recent.
So
yeah, I was speaking with one of the vendors yesterday who said that as far as they were aware, this event was still looking for a venue as of a week ago. And
oh
I said, no, this event has had the venue set
for
a while.
Yeah.
So a lot of people got confused.
Right. So there was some major confusion between the two events. And I guess the other guy who was the organizer of HempFest, I don't know if he's going to bring that back or not. But, there was some sort of disagreement between the organizers of this event and the organizer of HempFest. They were all together on HempFest last year.
And then they separated into two.
Right. And that sometimes happens,
Right.
Whether it's a political movement, whether it's a religion, whether it's HempFest,
right.
It's not uncommon for people to have differing visions for what the thing should be, mm-hmm. and then when they can't reconcile those differences, they go their separate ways. Unfortunately, this resulted in some confusion amongst the people out there who were trying to figure out where to go and what to do.
It's still becoming the event, one of the greatest events still.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. If you think about this as a first year event, which it is technically, the New Hampshire Cannabis Freedom Festival, I would say it's well attended.
You're also working with at least one congressman to try to do something federally?
Oh, there's a senator and there's a counselor.
Talk directly into the mic.
Representatives and, right up on the federal level, they want to reschedule marijuana. Cory Booker wants to deschedule it, which we all want.
It off there entirely.
We want
it
taken off entirely. I actually got the opportunity to talk to both of them. I have a meeting with Cory Booker's staff on the 29th. And so when I talk to Cory Booker, he's great. He wants it decriminalized federally. It needs to be. And he understands, the facts and the statistics about how many.
How did this guy get elected? I mean, Cory Booker, it doesn't seem like the kind of person you'd find in the federal government.
He got elected because he's a Democrat.
And he
lives in New Jersey.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, he's good on this issue then, at least.
Yes. And he's a compassionate person who cares about other people.
Without the FDA, Ian. Without the FDA. Well,
yeah. We trust them to make our food in laboratory, petri dishes and stuff.
Well, everything the FDA has ever issued a recall on, they had previously authorized as being safe.
Is that right?
They don't recall stuff that they've not authorized to be safe, Ian.
I see what you're saying. Well, I mean, probably their authorization is
safe stuff is recalled all the time.
Somebody pays them off or something like that.
Well, it's called a voluntary recall. That way they don't have to fold. It's kind of giving a little insurance on the side, you know.
Well, there are times when a company will issue a recall, and then there are other times when the FDA will say...
They'll force them to.
You know, all of this product from this company, from this distribution center, must be removed from the shelves.
Yeah.
But after so many die, they can just say, look, we're going to voluntarily remove it, so the FDA doesn't even have to take them to court or anything.
I'm sure they would prefer to stay out of courts in situations like that. So, okay, so the children, we've got to be aware of the children. Because the children are always, you know, they're always reading drug schedules at the federal level.
Yeah.
And, you know, every fourth grader knows exactly what Schedule I drugs are and what's on the list of Schedule I drugs. So this really is important.
So what was the next objection that they gave?
There's an opium epidemic.
That's a reason to decriminalize.
Oh, God, I mean, I personally got off 13 pharmaceuticals. I'm not on any pharmaceuticals. I'm just on medical marijuana.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
How many other plants are there on the drug schedules?
Well, I mean, opium's a plant.
True.
Cocaine's a plant.
Well, cocaine's a processed version of...
But aren't most drugs derived from plant material and
that's true.
You know, herbs?
That's true.
But they're all synthesized, you know, so they're genetically modified. You know,
so they can
cause
opium.
Us other side effects, you know, the 100 other side effects that you'll get from all the synthetics.
How about the side effect of opening your mind? How about the side effect of...
They don't want us to be awake.
Right. The side effect of questioning your circumstances, questioning authority, questioning the government, questioning what you're told. I mean, that to me was
Look outside the box, because there's a lot out there they don't want you to see.
Yeah, I mean, for me, cannabis, when I was a teenager and I had been indoctrinated with all the DARE stuff that just was nonstop as a young person, you know, I was afraid.
Drugs.
I was afraid of cannabis. I was. And then, you know, I tried it and it wasn't scary anymore. I suspect that among our attendees here, there probably are more than a few of them who might have been on some psychedelic drugs this weekend. There's a good chance of that. Somebody last night did ask me if I wanted some mushrooms, and I did politely decline because I've been I didn't want to stay up all night. And but apparently out in California, the LA Times is reporting this week that there's a proposed ballot measure where California voters could decide this next year whether the state should decriminalize the use of cannabis or the use of
psilocybic
mushrooms, as the LA Times just popped up one of those irritating pop-ups.
I hate when that happens when you're reading and then it just like, here's a big giant pop-up, subscribe for our stuff.
Right. Yeah. So hallucinogenic mushrooms by adults in 2018, a ballot measure was filed Friday with the state's attorney general's office. The measure would exempt adults age 21 and older from penalties for possessing, selling, transporting, or cultivating psilocybin. You had a headline, Cindy, about psychedelic mushrooms and the health effects for some people. What was it that you were seeing recently? You posted something to your Facebook.
Yeah, well, it's been on the news that they've done research on psychedelic mushrooms and that it stops depression.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people suffering from depression. It also helps get people off of benzos. What they're doing is they also went to nursing homes where people had Alzheimer's and depression, manic depression. They gave them microdoses.
Mm-hmm.
So a microdose would be about 0.2 grams.
Okay.
And
like a typical psychedelic dose is like an eighth, which is 3.5 grams of. So, yeah, that's a very small.
Or about 2 grams,
yeah,
I think.
2 grams.
Would be about a dose of psychedelic mushrooms.
So you're talking about a tenth.
A tenth,
of,
one tenth.
Of that. Yeah.
And they took the one tenth and they gave them to their patients. And all of their patients became better and got out of their depression.
Even though there's a lot of evidence and it's readily available, we know firsthand that the government agents don't necessarily look at the evidence. That
no.
There was one of the committee
the cops
hearings.
Tell them not to. They won't look.
Well, there was one of the committee hearings. I think it was about decrim here in New Hampshire a couple of years ago, where one of the state police guys got up to testify again about, well, we can't do this because blah, blah, blah. And one of the state reps said, well, what about all of these studies that the supporters of this legislation have been bringing over the last decade?
Yeah.
Well, I've never gotten around to actually looking
the
at any of
said
it.
This.
Right. Yeah. Even though, it's presented and he's hearing them mention this year after year after year. Well, I've never gotten around to looking at it.
It would challenge his paradigm. I mean, he's in the paradigm that marijuana is this evil drug and all of this other information counters that. So why should he look at it? That would mean that he'd have to admit he was wrong.
Right.
And that's a hard thing to go against. When you talk about people and their cognitive dissonance, when they have a belief and they're presented with evidence that
Harry
counters
Aslinger
that belief.
Attitude.
When they're presented with evidence that counters the belief, they ignore it. It's a lot easier to just ignore the evidence and ignore the case studies, ignore the people's experience, and just keep on trucking ahead because you've got a budget to get.
Something else that we've heard numerous times when, hey, let's look at Portugal. See what happened in Portugal when they removed the criminal penalties.
Prohibition always has the same results. It doesn't matter if you're prohibiting cannabis or if you're prohibiting alcohol or if you're prohibiting mushrooms or if it's heroin. You're always going to drive the use underground, the production of the drug underground. You're going to make it more dangerous.
The distribution goes underground.
Right. You're giving it to criminals to distribute. You're going to make it more dangerous. If you want people with opiate addictions to be able to solve their problem, it shouldn't be illegal because then the people who are addicted are afraid to get help, as we've seen in Portugal with a dramatic reduction in drug addiction
in Portugal. Like 40-50%.
Yeah, and that's because it's legal to possess any small amounts of any drug in Portugal. It's
what they call a personal amount, which is a 10-day supply. If you had a 10-day supply of something in the United States,
you'll go to prison.
You'd get hit with intent to distribute charges.
Yep, you'd go to prison. And they've had 40 – I think it was last time I looked, and it's been a few years since I've looked, but they had a 40% decline in hard drug addiction rates in Portugal. How have things been for you this weekend?
Very good. I'm down there at my favorite site, 26 there. The coffee, everybody really enjoys it. And, it's really rewarding for me to see everybody take a sip of, have a questionable face and then take a sip and it turns to instant delight. And then they come back and tell me how great they feel and possibly buy another cup.
I know previously, at the Porcupine Freedom Festivals and last year at Hemp Fest, you were doing bulletproof coffee, but you're doing something different now.
Well, bulletproof coffee is a formula. It's a recipe for a high-performance butter coffee, basically. And so Bulletproof is someone else's brand that belongs to Dave Asprey, and now Jessica has her own brand, the Love Java.
And when did you start that?
That was opened in February.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it seemed like it was pretty new. Love Java is spelled L-U-V.
It is.
LoveJava.com. Now, you actually had given me some of the Love Java earlier this year, and I was like, well, I'll try to give it to somebody because I don't drink coffee. So I wanted to do something with it. I didn't want it just sitting around. And Callan Diggs was actually in town in Keene. He's one of the hosts of Reaching the Finish Line, the host of that show, but it's one of the shows on LRN.FM, kind of a entrepreneurial self-help, self-improvement show. Mm-hmm. Great guy. Really had fun kind of getting to know him while he was living out in Keene. He's now out in Colorado. He's talking about coming back to New Hampshire one of these days. But while he was in Keene, I said, hey, I got this coffee. And he's, God, I forget which disease it is.
He has Crohn's.
It's Crohn's. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. And so he's got Crohn's disease. And, you've had people have some pretty interesting experiences using Love Java. You're a new mover here to New Hampshire. Is it part of the Free State Project?
Yeah, part of the Free State Project. I've been here a few months now and hanging out, loving it in New Hampshire. There's so much to do here all the time.
There really is, and that's not an exaggeration. Now, where did you come from?
Well, I came from Wisconsin originally, and they have their own libertarian thing going on there. But I've been looking to move out to New Hampshire for probably 8 years now and finally made the move this summer.
All right, and you're a young guy. How old are you?
28, so youngish, yeah.
Okay, you look a lot younger than that.
Sure.
So when you said, you know, thinking about it for 8 years, I'm thinking, all right, you're 20, so how did you find out about the Free State Project when you were 12? You're a little bit older than I thought, so I'm guessing you heard about it when you were in college.
Yeah, heard about it when I was in college, actually listening to Free Talk Live back in the day, and decided then, like, yeah, eventually I'm going to move. And
you did.
Finally, things came together and got out here and being busy. And it's interesting to come out here and do these nice activities like this Cannabis Freedom Festival.
Some of the Bitcoin action that's happening out on the seacoast is pretty cool. You guys have the Free Coast Festival coming up right around the corner, I believe. And so far, I guess you're loving it here, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. Definitely having a good time here.
Is there anything you miss about being in Wisconsin?
I think they have better beer in Wisconsin.
Is that right?
Personally, a lot of New Hampshireites have been disagreeing with me on this. But
I bet.
That I will say is that the Portsmouth area does have some really good local breweries. There are some of, you know, what they would consider to be like a regional brewer that's located in that general area. So there's some decent beers
there. I'm not going to disagree with that. They need some progress. That's all.
You would recommend then, I presume, to anybody who's a libertarian, and you obviously are, you have the shirt on. You are that libertarian is what your shirt says, with a little porcupine Liberty logo on it. Would you say that people need to start planning to get up here sooner rather than later?
Absolutely. Yeah, you want to get in while the going's good, you know.
What was it that inspired you to run for governor? Because it's not your first time. You actually ran as an independent candidate, years ago?
Yeah, for the 2016 election, yes.
So what inspired you? Because not everybody wants to run for governor. I mean, I've done it. You did it. But well, we're a little unusual, I suppose. Make sure you get real close to that mic, too.
Well, the reason that I ran was and is because, obviously, I'm tired of the constant push by our political agendaists out there to stop liberty from the citizens of the state, who don't listen to what people in the state are asking for. For example, in this particular issue, there's 60% of the voters in New Hampshire that were polled in 2015 said that they would support legalization, complete legalization, and yet we still can't get it in the state. So are they listening to the voters, or are they just going with their own agenda?
Generally, they go with their own agenda because, you know, we have a process, Gilletta, to where bills get filed and then people come and speak. And then, you know, your wise overlords wind up doing what they do. And, well, the police came out and said, you know, all of these, you know, like there would be, you know, just like blood in the streets if we wind up allowing people to use this. And we can't allow blood to flow through the streets. How dare we?
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.